Hey guys, thanks for watching Ike Live. It's brought to you by Mystery Tackle Box. Please check them out. They've got a great product. Go to mysterytacklebox.com.
If you use the coupon code IkeLive, you get 50% off your first Pro Box. That's $12.50 for a almost $50 value of baits in this box.
What is this foolishness?
How many dreams can you shape in a minute, an hour?
The kind of clean you like best.
Lost three of my teeth, too. All right, so you lost. Next time you win.
Steamy, hot, hearty, delicious, invigorating.
Action. Folks at home, how you doing tonight? Welcome to a brand new edition of Ike Live Show. We've got a really, really special show for you tonight. Let me start by introducing the room, and then I'll tell you a little bit about this super show we have. Sitting to my left, the beautiful, amazing, talented, and smart Miss Rebecca. How you doing, Beck?
I'm good, thank you.
Good to see you tonight. First of all, let's get this out of the way. Who are you wearing?
Anthropology? Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people watching probably have no idea what anthropology is.
I'm good with that.
You're good with that. You're okay. You want to describe it at all or no?
No, it's like fabulous adult hippie clothing.
Adult women's hippie clothing. Men's or just women's?
Women's.
Women's hippie clothing. Okay.
Oh, they've home goods and...
They do.
Clothing.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Well, let me tell you, I'm so happy you're here. Two shows in a row. I feel like I could open them blinds right now. It's going to snow out there. I'm so happy to have you back.
Pigs are flying.
Sitting to my right, the one and only. He looks a little stressed out. We're going to get into that in a second. I see a little sweat on his brow. I can even see it on the screen up here. We've got the one and only Dave Brodzik, a.k.a. Fathead. Dave, how you doing tonight?
All right, man.
I forgot the wharf. Wait,
you
I don't
have to turn
you.
Him on.
Yeah, let's turn Dave on so we can actually hear him.
Oh, how about now?
Am I mute? No,
there you go.
No. Yeah.
There you go.
Two minutes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 minutes in.
I didn't even have my first drink yet.
Dave, we're late again, as usual. We got on about 10 after 7. That's a normal thing for Ike Live Show. But normally, we're late because of me. Like, I'm always, I'd say 95% the reason. I come up like 1 of 7 or 1 after. One it's always seven. Because of me. Right. But tonight, we're a little late because of you. But you want real quick before we intro the rest of the room, what happened?
Truck broke down on
what had happened was
a couple miles away.
You had a breakdown,
electrical meltdown, yeah.
On the way to the Ike Live studio, you had a little truck malfunction.
Riz had to come rescue me.
Wow. Okay. And what was that all about? Do you know the cause of that?
Yeah, I shouldn't have been doing what I was doing yesterday. I have a 16-year-old truck, and I'm out in the Pine Barrens swamping it. I hit a puddle deep, maybe about 4.5 feet, came up over the hood, and probably fried the alternator.
All right. That's awesome.
Wait, but so the car was fine yesterday. You got home fine.
It stalled yesterday after I got out of the puddle. Right?
Yesterday.
So I let it dry off a little bit, trying to figure out how I was going to escape because the puddles just looked like they were getting worse and worse. Like, I went to a place that I'd never been to before.
Yeah, you're researching.
On the east side of 206, like way between the shore and 206.
East side?
It's nothing but green and skinny trails, like Jeep trails. Should never had my stuff back there. And just trying to figure out a way to get out, really. And
Wow.
I knew I had some kind of a small issue yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you fry the alternator, I had a brand new battery, so I was able to drive around a little bit because it's feeding on the battery.
Right.
And when the battery's finally dead.
Right.
So I got to figure out what I'm going to do.
Fried it out a little. Sorry.
Wait. So what happened tonight?
The alternator is finally gone and the battery finally
So all of a sudden it just kind of went,
Yeah. I knew it was going to happen. I just was hoping I could make it here and have it happen.
It's better on the way here than home.
Yeah, because well, you're saying it's better on the way there, so I don't have my truck sitting on your place.
No, I don't mind it would be here. I'm just saying, like, by the time we finish here in a couple hours, like, no, you know, dark would
be,
and...
Wiz will be driving me home. And
yo,
I'll
your truck would be like the pod that's been here for, like, 3 months. Longer than
what
that.
Is it with
how
that
long
pod?
Has a pod been
that
here?
That effing pod.
We have a pod here. It's got to go.
Thought we'd do this nice storage thing as we had some... you know, construction and put some storage together, and then everyone just enjoyed the storage space.
Yeah, they kept it all. All right, let me intro the rest of the room.
Oh, hey, how about it?
We've got over here on the one and twos, we've got handling IMs tonight, the one and only Riz, a.k.a. Rizzo, a.k.a. Rich. Rich, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Not sure if my mic is on.
Your mic is on.
I can hear you.
You're
hot.
Okay.
Oh, I hear you, Rich.
Doing great, Mike. Glad to be back in studio again for another brand new Ike Live show. Just became Rescue Riz for a few minutes.
Wow!
We actually pushed the truck from one side of the road to the other, so we got our cardio in. We got a little bit of pump going.
Yeah.
So we're ready to go.
Pumping iron.
So Riz, would you say that there's cardio every time you have to come to the Ike and Ellie's?
Pretty much, yeah.
Something happens.
So earlier this week, actually. Mr. Beck and I went on a kayak rescue mission because there is multiple kayaks floating down the lake.
Flooding. Flooding issues here in South Jersey.
So what happened was the day before, you know how we had that, like, the massive rainstorm?
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, you know, those amazing landscapers I got not only didn't pitch the landscape or the pavers correctly, so the pool was overflowing, which, you know, I know how to get the water out of it, but then the pavers were filling with water flowing into it. So I spent my day just trying to save the pool so we didn't have major damage. I never thought to think about the lake and the fact that the kayaks might be floating away.
Right.
So Riz shows up the next day. He's like, there's a kayak out in the lake. You know that's yours. So I'm like, all right, let's go. I actually got dressed.
And that volunteered me noticing that the kayak was in the middle of the lake.
It's a good salvage.
I volunteered myself to
get
it. So normally, when I show up to here, the office, I'm either wearing, like, dirty, ripped-up Carhartt pants or, like hook fishing shorts, whatever. This is the one day I wear, like, the nicest pair of pants that I own.
A suit. Yeah. You had a suit on with a cummerbund.
I wore polo Ralph Lauren pants.
Your Sunday best.
Yeah. And that's the day that I end up in a swampy Hobie.
But honestly, I've lived in workout clothes. Have I not lived in workout clothes for the last 6 months? And I actually got dressed that day, too.
Wow.
So we're out there paddling.
It was like we were going to a party, like at the Great Gatsby's.
Wow.
We were. And I look at Riz at one point, and I'm like, I'm wearing Gucci today.
Oh, my God.
We're going to save a kayak.
I have a question, Riz. Where do you buy distressed Carhartt clothes at?
Are you saying that I didn't earn these?
No, I don't know. I didn't know they sold distressed Carhartt.
Acid washed.
These are my fishing pants.
I'm teasing.
These are acid washed.
So you know they're actually
good. Acid washed, come back in style. Pushing the buttons tonight, of course, the one and only, Brian the Carpenter, producing the show. Brian, how you doing?
Good, man. We're here. We're doing it.
Okay, we're doing it. And last but not least, joining us via Zoom, we've got the Dean and official co-host of the show, Pete Glusick, with us tonight. Pete?
Still milking it.
How you doing?
I'm milking away over here.
Milking away. We like it. Hey, you come from your own home. It's good. We can hear you. We can see you. That's all that matters, Pete.
Hey, it's great. It's great to be here tonight. And, man, what an exciting guest we have.
Dude, this is going to be a good one. And if you're watching right now, if you're just tuning in to this brand new Ike Live show, this is a special one. We've got, I would call him tour veteran. I would call him pro angler. I would call him a guy that has changed the sport, honestly. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We've got Randy Blockett joining us. This is going to be such a good show. Can't tell you. This show is brought to you by so many companies that make it happen. I want to run down them real quick. Of course, our presenting sponsor, Mystery Tackle Box. It's fishing simplified. Not only is it simplified, but it's like Christmas to your doorstep once a month, Beck. It's unbelievable. There it goes, the old black box. We're going to be doing an unboxing a little bit later. Also brought to you by one of our brand new sponsors, and you're going to see in the second segment, Dave, you're going to see a little drink change, Tin Cup Whiskey. Enjoyed that last week. We're going to be enjoying it again tonight. Founders Beer. Right now we're starting with the beer of the night. Oh, Dave's already drinking.
No. Oh, no one poured me one. You guys
thought I had a beer. I thought you were already having a tin cup.
No, I won't let you have one until the second segment.
We've got to pace Dave out. Some bad things happened
before
show.
I came.
also brought to you by Founders Beer. You see a couple tonight floating around the room. Of course, Solid Gold, All Day IPA. We love Founders. Founders is so good. Brought to you by TH Marine, the makers of everything in the marine industry, from canoes to Biggie Smalls yachts. Dr. Squatch. Man, what a better time than now to keep your hands clean. But we got a brand new product we're going to be talking about tonight. I want to tease it a little bit. Dr. Squatch is now making toothpaste.
Oh, wow.
Pete, toothpaste. And I'm not, you know, toothpaste to me was always toothpaste. I want to tease it a little bit. This is a game changer. I'm going to talk about it a little later in the show.
When you type Dr. Squatch into Google to go to their site, you know, if you don't know it. You know how, like, the thing will pop up, like, Mike Iaconelli's net worth, Mike Iaconelli's wife? The very first thing for Dr. Squatch is Dr. Squatch male model. Like, whoever that dude is with the nice
chest.
Yeah, like that dude.
Wow. That dude's famous.
Yeah.
He's got a hairier chest than Pete, that guy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Brought to you by Liquid Mayhem. Scent is important. Try Liquid Mayhem. Also, Flambeau. We're going to be checking out two of the new boxes tonight. They're awesome, game-changing boxes. Brought to you by Hobie, the Cadillac of kayaks, and we're going to be talking a little bit about our kayak event here in the first segment. Also brought to you by Torquedo. Listen, if you're looking for an electric trawl motor that blows everything out of the water, Brian Carpenter, back me up on this
one. Blows them out of the water.
Blows them out of the water. Check out Torquedo. Maybe. Go to torquedo.com. It's awesome. Also, last but not least, Tackle Warehouse, great sponsor of Ike Live Show from day one. Also, and Riz, I'm going to ask you a little bit about this. We've got a very very interesting update happening, and we have another great sponsor of the show. This is the Fisherman's Fishing Planet. You remember us talking about this a lot on past shows, a great fishing video game. They have a expansion to this game, Riz.
That's right, they do. The expansion pack, Blue Crab Island. Right?
Blue Crab Island.
So what Blue Crab Island did is it opened up more lures, new kinds of bass boats, new techniques that you can fish for this video game. And if you have not tried it out yet, it's something you absolutely got to do if you're a fisherman. Like, you know, I think about fishing all the time. Eat, breathe, sleep. And this is just another way to get involved and stay active in the sport through PS4. It's a great one. Dave, you're a gamer, man. You should definitely check this one out. But the Blue Crab expansion, it opened the maps up to a whole new level. You know, it was already really cool to be able to play this game, but now you can take it to the next level.
If you put like a Cholo shirt on the guy on the front here, doesn't it look like Centaur if you had a Cholo shirt on?
It looks like Centaur. I also said Ed Bassmaster. Dude, it looks like Ed. Absolutely, 100% looks like Ed Bassmaster. He might have modeled for that. Let me remind you tonight, if you're watching with us over on social media, if you're watching on Facebook, like and share the feed. Listen to me. I say it every week. All you have to do, take a second, like and share the feed. You're going to be entered into a contest to win the amazing, world-famous 20-plus pound, feel that, Beck, what is it, 20, 22 in that range? Ike Live gift bag loaded with sponsor products. It's
it legitimately costs us $50 to send it to you.
It costs us
$50. Does it really?
It's crazy.
Yeah, those prices all went up.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
$50?
$50 to send that thing.
It's cray.
Yeah, it's cray cray.
Can someone around the corner win? We'll drop it off.
I know. It'd be nice. It'd be nice. We could drive it to him. Let me remind you again, Randy Blockett coming up here in a little bit. Can't wait to talk to Randy on the show for the first time. Yes, Riz, what do you got? You got something?
I got to get this in there. The Funky Fisherman wants you to know, Mike, he got crabs on an island once, but he couldn't tell if they were blue.
That's funny, Funky Fisherman. I had crabs in college once, and they were blue. They were actually on my blue balls.
That's right, yeah.
So the crabs were blue.
That's right.
I don't think that's possible.
What does it matter? What do you mean?
You can't get crabs on blue balls.
Sure you can. Well, you can get them from a toilet seat.
And I'm not allowed to have a sip of whiskey.
You can get that. If somebody's watching right now that's in the medical field, can you or can't you get crabs from a toilet seat? I'm saying you can. Brian Carpenter, you had crabs before. Did you get them from a toilet seat?
Don't know.
Okay.
I don't think I had crabs either, but
that's whatever.
Pete, I know you had crabs before. Can you get them from a toilet seat?
In the beard.
I've heard that you could, but I don't know. I never did.
Okay. Everybody, see how everybody started to clam up.
I think that was made up by someone cheating on their wife. Like, I was in this rest stop where bums are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Meanwhile, he's out there with, you know, who was.
Right.
You know?
Could be. Could be. Let me also remind you, if you're watching tonight, we want to hear from you. We really do. IMs are open. If you're watching us on IkeLive.com, please send us your comments, questions, whatever you got. It's good stuff. Pete, real quick, give us an update on Bass University. What do we got going on over at BU? I know we got some Kevin Van Damme material being released. What do we got?
Yeah, Kevin, KVD continues. We're releasing the best from him. He does this really cool tube snapping thing, as well as, Mike, you got to see this. It's a it's kind of like the hair jig thing where what do we call that when you're fishing
black
the ledges?
Hair. Black hair.
Stroking?
Stroking the hair jig, like where you're reeling it up.
Yeah.
And then releasing it. He does that with a mini swim bait with a heavy 3/4 ounce head, doing it in 30 to 40 feet of water.
Wow. Cool technique.
Yeah, it's really, really cool how he's able to cover water and do that kind of stuff with it. So check it out, guys. Bass University, the 30 days free. Go over to bassu.tv. Just check it out. We built this whole thing to help guys become better anglers, and that's what's going on right now. So go
check it out. Tuesday night we'll be live, Bass University Live, and we've got Edwin Evers coming on.
Wow, great guest.
Yeah.
That'll be a good show.
Yeah.
Is he going to talk about his pecans?
I think so. Yeah, he just moved into his house. They got tornadoed last year.
Oh, they get it all fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. He got back.
Yeah,
he'll be
up at the MLF Cup event or something.
Cool.
Wisconsin, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either.
Let's get the show started. Dave, like always, we want to thank our military, men and women, veterans and active military. Thank you guys for what you do. It's a crazy world. Also want to thank policemen, firemen, EMT. Thank you guys for what you do. Doctors, nurses, crazy time in the world right now. Thank you. Thank you very much. Speaking of the military shout-out, the police shout-out, firemen shout-out, Dave, we had a special day pass us 2 days ago.
Yeah.
2 days ago, the 9/11, September 11th. And, of course, you look through the social media feed, everybody posts something about it, right? It's a day to remember. You're doing some driving up that way. You sent us a picture, and it was amazing what you said in the text. It's so true. You're driving. Were you on the turnpike?
Yeah, today, northbound turnpike going up to a rail yard right across from New York City in Bergen County.
Yep. So you're in North Jersey. You can see, for guys that don't live up here in the Northeast, the great thing about being in North Jersey is you look at New York City, you see that skyline. It's awesome to see the biggest city in the world right there.
Yeah.
And the towers are gone. It's a weird, eerie thing because we all remember, you know, we're alive at a time when we remember seeing it. It's part of everyday life. You see the towers.
I don't even look at that skyline without thinking of that first every time.
Right.
I don't go there every night, but I'm going up that way a couple of days a week. And
yeah,
just looking there, man, it still boils you. It still boils you so bad. And I think about the other people that were driving up the turnpike. Someone saw that happen live.
Oh, yeah.
While driving, like, man, that plane is low. Like, what the? Whoa! Like, someone saw that, you know?
A lot of people saw it.
I mean, I never heard anyone interviewed that was driving the turnpike that saw it, but you can't help but look at the skyline coming up.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you're looking at it, you're looking straight, you're looking straight, you know, because it's amazing.
Yeah. It was such a world turning event, you know? And Becky said something the other day. You said, I can't remember we were talking about it, but everyone, if you stop and close your eyes for a second, you can remember exactly where you were when it happened, right? I know you can, Beck, Pete, I'm sure you can, Riz,
absolutely.
I mean, everybody, you can remember the exact moment when all that was going down.
My mom can explain two of those in her life. She can explain where she was on September 11th. She can tell you the outfit she was wearing, the apron she was wearing, and the exact dish she was watching when it came over the radio when JFK was killed.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because they're
crazy.
Big things.
Yeah. I lived in D.C. at the time, and I had a friend who was on the highway and watched the plane fly into the Pentagon.
Wow.
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 Because it happened in the morning.
Wow.
And everyone's sitting there in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and she was like, I literally watched this plane come just far too low over us. Now, you do have an airport right there, so you're not totally surprised by low-flying, you know, airplanes, but it wasn't going the right direction.
Right.
And she watched it come up and over and
so
in.
So every September 11th, I don't know how many other people do this, I watch all I mean, as much as I can watch, I watch it all. Like whether it's the live foot, like what was then live footage, the phone call, like watch it all. I watched three things that I'd never seen before.
Yeah. One, like documentaries and stuff.
CNN Films did an amazing one called 9/11 15 Years Later. And it gives me the goosebumps because they talk about the two pilots that went up with no munitions on the plane. And the first guy went out there from North Carolina, ran out of gas, had to turn around, and a female pilot went up, and she talked about how she was going to ram the tail. Like that, you know, she, that plane wasn't going to make it to D.C. They knew where it was going.
Right.
You know, and I never knew that. I never knew that those planes weren't armed. And she explained the process of how long it takes. You know, bombs just don't come out of a locker. Like, they got to assemble shit. And,
wow.
You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
That, then the Falling Man. There's a story about a documentary about the guy that, that you see jump, the one guy with the white, you know, like Falling Man. And then it was that one. There was one more, whatever. But, about the Pentagon. When they hit the Pentagon, it hit the only section that was redone. They were in a process of retrofitting it.
Yep.
And it was the only section that they put certain types of protections in. You know, because it was built, you know, I think in the 50s.
Right.
And it wasn't really fortified. Right. It was like wood and brick, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like concrete.
Right.
And it hit the ones why it didn't go all the way through it. If it hit a head different section, it would have cut the thing in half.
That's why there also weren't as many people in there. Because they hadn't put everyone back in the offices yet.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I watched those stories. Man. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just.
It was a life changer. It was a world changer, you know. And I remember, I'll tell you a quick story. I think I've mentioned this before. I remember exactly where I was at. Pete, I don't remember if we were there together that year or not, but I was at the FLW Championship.
Champlain.
On Champlain, practicing. I remember, you know, where I was that day. I was practicing up in Missisquoi through the passage. It was the last day of practice, the last day of official practice. I came back through the passage, and I wanted to learn a little bit about that New York side through the passage heading down toward Mallet's Bay. And, you know, the interesting thing is, and if you tournament fish, you know this. When you're out on the water, a lot of times you lose track of time, of everything, right? The days fly by, the hours, you know, you don't watch your phone, you don't look at stuff. But I remember when I think back, it was as all this was happening, there was this weird, eerie quietness that fell over Lake Champlain. I remember this during the practice day, and I couldn't put my finger on what it was, you know? But I didn't find out till I got back. You know, I got back to Marine Village Cabins, put the boat on the trailer, got back. And at the time, my mom and uncle were there with me. And I remember they were like frantic, you know. Oh, my God. You know, and frantic. And I was like, what, you know. And then, you know, to see the newsreel playing it over. Reality.
You missed it all.
I missed it. It was happening, but I was on the water. So I can remember that like it was yesterday. I think we all have a story like that, you know?
You know, and I know we're going to move on soon, but guys, if you can get to the 9/11 memorial, have to get there.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about it like 3 years ago, like a 2 day. I'd come, you know, we had talked about it. I was only a couple days removed from having been there. And I was listening to a podcast today where a veteran, Tim Kennedy, was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he talked about being there. And I had said when you touch the metal and the girders, like it's venerated, right? Like you know that people were pulverized, you know. But he said it best. He said you can feel the souls. And he said it, I'm like, God damn, yeah, that's exactly it.
Right.
I didn't describe it right.
Yeah.
Like if you have a chance, you got to get to it.
It's an amazing place. And Becky and I got to go there when we filmed Fish My City, and we were there with Nat Geo Wild filming in New York, and we had a day off. You know, that was a 9-day shoot with a day off between in the middle of the 9 days. And we went over to the memorial, and it was so emotional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Becky and I didn't know anyone personally who passed away, but you get there, and you're just, dude, you just well up instantly. You're like
the glass suspended in black.
Oh yeah,
it
hits
you. The words coming across from the calls. That was just like, who thought of that? Like,
it hits you.
Genius, and it was just
it hits you.
It's staggering. Yeah, you can't move.
I haven't been to the 9/11 memorial, but in regards to what you're saying about being able to feel the sadness in the air, that was what it felt like a couple years ago. We went to Gettysburg. It'd be 2 years this Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and that was the, you know, you could just feel that presence of sadness that went down in that area. But, you know, so I kind of get that feeling that you guys got from that.
It's
interesting.
I've told you guys palpable. Years ago. I have a friend, former cop. He's a truck driver now. He's a spirit guide, and he goes to Gettysburg all the time. We're invited to go.
Gettysburg's awesome, dude.
That'd be cool.
He's a spirit
cool.
guide, man. Like, yeah, he knows the hot spots. He knows the bridges. There's this one bridge where apparently, like, a lot of executions happened at, and it's a hot spot for him there. And
right.
His name's Andrew, and he's a rad
Whoa.
Dude, man. Yeah.
Wow.
He smoked a lot of weed or no?
No, dude. He's a veteran. He's got real bad cancer. He's fighting that all the time.
Jesus.
Like, he's going through chemo. He's, you know, he's a rad dude. But
damn. That'd be a hell of a trip.
I told you, man. Like, I told you years ago we needed to do that, man.
Wow.
I see the
cool.
guy.
I want to do that shit.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You know what? There's things that happen in your life, though, where I would say, like, you go through your whole life and you go into your 20s and you're invincible. You know what I mean? Because, like, most of us didn't live during the time of, like, a war or anyone like was being sent off to Vietnam. Like we didn't have any of those things. So
well, Pete
for us,
did, but everybody else.
Maybe
did.
Pete. But like you don't have those things. Something has to happen during your lifetime somewhere as you're getting older that causes you to stop and say, I'm not invincible.
Yeah.
I can't take everything for granted. Tomorrow is not given. And I think 9/11 for most of us was that moment
probably
that probably stopped you like dead in your life and said, holy shit. Like, I'm not gifted tomorrow.
Yeah. The interesting thing, though, and I don't who said this. Somebody said this to me the other day. As tragic as that was, right, it did bring the country together.
Oh, my God.
Think of the next few years.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we had this pride. Wanted to just, you know, we wanted to unite, and there was this unity.
Oh,
dude,
big time.
Think of the culture going around right now.
Yeah.
Like, watch CNN for a minute.
Uh-oh.
And you cannot look on social media. You can not watch the news without.
It's an indication the times are too darn good.
Yeah, you feel
people
dirty.
People don't know how.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. So, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I was watching my wife's cat today. I say my wife's cat because it's my wife's cat, so whatever.
Yeah.
So, I'm watching this thing. and
literally four-legged.
Yeah, and it's every day it walks around the house. It's the same house. And every day it's always on edge. You know, like there's a blanket there, and it walks up to it, and it's like, because it's geared towards looking for problems, right?
Right,
it can't
right.
just accept the fact that. That thing has got it made. It does nothing but
lay
down
no mice.
It does nothing.
No mice for you to murder.
But that's like like the nature of it. And I was watching that thing like, man, dude, chill.
Yeah.
There's, you know, you've been here for how many years? It's not been a problem yet. You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, that's like kind of human nature. Like when things are too good, you kind of start looking for problems. You default to that.
Or we create problems.
We're creating a lot of problems right now because there ain't none.
Right.
I mean, well, nothing that can't be dealt with.
I think if you look,
Becky, what you said, you know, resonates with me because Mike, like you, I was up on Thousand Islands. I was in the middle of a practice session.
Yeah.
And it got eerie on the lake. Like everybody should have been out. Everybody should have been practicing. And
got quiet.
It got quiet. I was the only one there. Like I'd be in, you know, why isn't, you know, I'm not seeing another boat. And I had my phone buried. And when I got back in, I listened to my voicemail. Like it was dark. I was putting the boat on the trailer. Nobody was there but me. And, you know, every message was the same. It was, oh my God, call me as soon as you can. Like, oh, I can't believe this happened. Call me. And nobody's telling me what happened.
Yeah.
On the messages, you know, so I'm in the dark and I'm turning on the radio. Like what's happened? And they're all doing the same thing. Like nobody's explaining what had transpired because by now everybody knows but me.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, eventually I found out and, you know, you're so preoccupied with, I'm trying to win this tournament.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it to the championship. I'm, you know, I have the next 20 days scheduled out by the second of what I have to accomplish, what I'm going to be doing. And everything just stopped.
Stopped, yeah.
Like, I couldn't even get home.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I remember that. I remember travel was interrupted. I remember cell phones not working for a couple days.
Yeah, I'm amazed you got voicemails because our phones around the D.C. area went out within, like, an hour.
Wow.
They were out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just reevaluated what was important.
Yeah.
You know, just rethinking everything that you're doing. It definitely stopped me in my tracks. I think, well, obviously stopped the whole world in their tracks.
Yeah.
It was a tremendous event. Yeah, very traumatic for everybody, obviously.
Yeah. Well, we're thinking about anybody watching tonight that was directly affected by 9/11. We're thinking about you tonight. You know, memorial of it a few days ago. On a different note, we're going to switch it up. We had a couple of us fish tournaments, Pete, over the last week or two. I don't want to go super into detail, but I did want to say, Pete, what a great event you had on a very, very challenging fishery. Of course, finished 11th out of 75 guys on the title Potomac. Great finish, Pete. Awesome finish. I fished there as well. Brutal. As tough as I've ever seen that river fish. I consider myself a tidal guy, a tidal river guy. I've never felt more clueless about about what was going on.
You've won on the
Potomac. I've had good finishes there. I've really felt clueless. But you had a great performance, Pete. You want to mention anything about the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I was punching. I haven't punched in for a week in a long time, so my body is still hurting. I've got all kinds of weird muscles that are aching from dropping those 1 ounce, 1.5 ounce VMC, you know, baits all. But that was the key for me. That was it, man. It was like I identified that the mats were polluted with crawfish like I have never seen in my life.
Yeah.
They were just everywhere. And when I would get a bite punching, it was an over. Like I call anything over 2 pounds. Over.
Yeah, here's the interesting thing. Here's the interesting thing, Pete. And I don't want to get too far into it, and I know you guys will talk about it on Bash U Live on Tuesday. Yep. It's a better place for all this. But the Potomac River was loaded with grass. There would be stretches where the grass came off the bank, Dave, came off the bank, two football fields off the bank. It ran for a mile long. And when you get in the grass, it would all be hydrilla or would all be river grass or some places it would mix. And it was just matted with no definitive edge, no holes. And I in practice, I flipped it and flipped it and punched it and punched it. Never had a bite. Tried the outside edge, tried inside, tried, you know, the thickest stuff, the thinner stuff. And I just never even got a bite. And I pulled my hair out and I kind of wrote it off. Here, Pete has a top, you know, almost the top 10, and half of the top 10, including the winner, is fishing these grass mats.
Wow.
The winner in particular fishing Greenway Flats, which I spent a lot of practice time on, you know, but these guys were saying, I found a key 20-yard stretch.
Yeah.
Well, how the fuck did you do that? Because, you know, the guy that won in the write-up, okay, and I don't want to bust his balls. Congrats, dude. You, again, I'm waving the white flag here. But the guy that won in his article said, you know, well, I've been down here for the last 6 months, and I practiced hard for the last month, and shout out to my buddy who put me on this spot. You know, all right. Maybe that's how you found
You guys are just jealous. You can't be
jealous.
Honest.
I'm jealous. But Pete found it with very limited practice as well. Yeah. You found a couple. How in the hell did you find these 20-yard stretches that are key? I don't get it.
Well, you know, for me, you know, it was kind of one of the spots was –
Your history. Buddy took you to. Yeah, I get that. What else?
It was history. It was like there's this one stretch that I have caught him on. You remember you and I got on that outside eelgrass bite with flat sides and
cranky
100 years ago.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I remembered that this little stretch is one of the areas that we caught him on that time. Yeah. And I went in and punched it because, you know, and right away, my very first punch was the biggest fish I caught all week. It was like a 4+.
Wow.
And I got another bite down that stretch. That stretch, that's all I did at practice, but that stretch put, eight of the fish that I weighed in, in for me. And I found two other stretches that were very small too. I'm talking about a mile of grass, and they were real short stretches. But unfortunately, the wind took them away from me a lot of the time, you know, because, you know, when wind blows on a mat, it just makes that go away.
So what made those stretches different, though? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, how could you identify? If you were...
Watch Bass U.
Yeah.
It's
the cleaner edges, and here's the thing that I think made that special was it was floating dead hydrilla that collects there.
Okay.
Right? So the mats weren't, it wasn't just growing hydrilla matting up. It was it was props cutting up the stuff and stacking it on an edge.
Gotcha.
And that made that, made that special.
Gotcha. Well,
but you know, you going in, man, it's like, I was thinking about, and because we got Randy coming on, I was thinking old school, like I was trying to put my mindset in the mind of Ish and Brower. Like they knew they were only going to get 5 bites. I knew I was only getting 5 bites in 8 hours.
Yeah.
It is so hard to be persistent when you go 3 hours and nothing's happening. You're ready to bail. You're ready to do something
Mike
else.
Would have bailed.
Yeah. Right. I bailed and I'm mad that I bailed, Becky. I bailed for an hour because I had been 4 hours without a bite. And I bailed and I went scratching looking for a fish somewhere. I fished the marina at Mattawam. I did everything I could think of to try to get a fish. I go back to punching, catch 2 3-pounders right before the end of the tournament doing it.
Wow.
And if I don't bail in that hour, I might catch that 5th fish, you know, and make it in and contend to win.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Maybe
just
not.
The tide might not have been right. You can't really.
You can't say that. You had a great tournament.
Yeah, probably not.
You had a great tournament, you know.
You're good.
You had a good event. I don't think you can second guess yourself.
Higher chance of your co-angler giving you COVID.
Yeah. Well, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Well, I did figure out that you can catch an STD from a toilet seat.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing. You look this up.
Yeah, the key and the only way to get it is to be having sex with somebody that has an STD while they're on a toilet.
Oh, right.
Well played, Pete.
The double.
More Tuesday night on Best You Live.
And if you flush the toilet, you can get COVID. Because what they say about public restrooms are actually because like all the germs.
The up flush?
Yeah.
Oh my
God.
Like
it makes you more likely.
I don't want to
so
hear anything
you're better
more
in a porta potty.
But kids listening, that's how very smart people tell sexual jokes. The way Pete just delivered that with a straight face.
Yeah.
I hope there's no kids watching the show.
Hey, the moral of the story on both the crabs and the COVID is just crap outside. Poop and pee outside. Just find a nice little grassy spot and just poop right
Live
there.
In the woods.
And wear a surgical mask as a loincloth.
And
That's
don't
right.
let, and don't let your right. children watch
right.
this show.
And don't let your children watch the show. Also want to catch up with Rizzo and Brian Carpenter. You guys fished a big event. It's a yearly thing by Five Live Bassmasters on Carnegie Lake, one of our old stomping grounds.
Yep.
And 2 good finishes from you guys. You want to talk a little bit about it? Brian Carpenter ended up 2nd. Riz should have ended up 2nd. I think ended up last. But no, it wasn't last. Maybe what did you end up?
I ended up with 5 fish for 0.05 pounds after my penalty.
After a penalty. Okay, so you were how 8 minutes
point
late?
0.95.
I guess I'm going first.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Riz, what happened? You had a good,
how mad he is.
You had a good tournament. Yeah. You should have come in 2nd, but you had a What? Tell us about that.
All right,
because this happens all the time. What happened?
I fish Carnegie Lake.
To Riz, right.
I fish Carnegie Lake once a year, every year. I fish it once a year for the Five Alive Labor Day tournament. It's the only time I ever drive up there. I go up there and I do my thing. I go flipping. Did the same thing this year. It was a really tough bite this year. Normally it takes like 14 to 15 pounds to win up there. And I only had I had just shy of 9 pounds. So I was like, I don't got even a shot to even contend in this thing. So late in the day, I was scrapping, grinding, trying to get a big bite. And I went further back on that lake than I had ever been before. And I don't know how familiar you guys are, but Carnegie Lake's like really long. And I was back by the train bridge at 1:10. And we were due in to check in at 2, and I started to head back, and I was against the wind. Trolling motor batteries died, you got really low, and I ended up being 8 minutes late to weigh in, which nullified pretty much my whole catch. I had 8.95. I would have came in 2nd place. I realized I would have came in 2nd place, and then I broke almost everything in my boat, and that's how the day went.
I can't relate.
He's about
that.
To break the countertop.
I know.
Right?
What are you doing? You're like Rain Man calculating math over there with your hand. What are you doing?
There's a wear spot in the limestone.
Like he's counting blackjack cards
what
there.
What I learned was Rich has had a really breakout season. He's been winning a lot. He's got a lot of big wins. He's been winning like Ike. He's also learned how to lose like Ike.
I like it.
You should have seen that.
Passion, emotion is good. No, it's good. Dude, listen to me. Pete,
Mike was on the side of the soccer field today yelling, anger is a gift.
Anger is a gift. You found that to the kids, yeah. The 8 and 10-year-olds. I believe that. Like, yeah. People handle it different, but emotion's good. I'm not advocating everybody goes and breaks all the shit, but dude, right? That burn is good.
It is.
You want to do better. You want to not do that again.
It is.
You want to win next time.
And
you
here's
know?
Another funny side note on this whole emotion thing. And yeah. So one of my college baseball coaches always used to tell me, never let your emotions get too high. Never let your emotions get too low. Yesterday, I fished another tournament on Stella's, and it was super grind day. I figured something out late in the day, flipped into a bush, caught a fish that was bigger than most fish on that lake, got fired up, screamed. Johnny Valdez fishing the tournament, heard me yell, saw where I was, saw what I was doing, immediately went around the point, started doing the same thing, caught his fourth and fifth, and then beat me in the tournament. So
always be quiet.
Damn right.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, he blue-shoed you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
Wow. The one downside, yeah, never don't give up. The one downside of being loud. But in that same tournament, Brian, you did come in second. So you had a good event.
I've fished Carnegie, I think, twice in my life, right? Yeah. And it's been probably 20 or so years since I've been there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I went up there the day before, Sunday, right? And the tournament was Monday. Right. That's when Mike busted my balls. But I'm like, I got nothing to do. I'm open. I can go. I'm like, I got to. And I know you don't freaking hook the fish the day before a tournament, but I don't know a damn thing about where to go, where to look, what to throw, what the water, you know, looks like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I called some people, said, hey, what's going on up there? I had three spots to look at. Mike said, you know, check the aquifer. Somebody said, you know, a lot goes on in between the two bridges. I'm like, all right, I remember that from 20 years ago. And then homeboy here, Rich, says, oh, dude, everybody runs around. I just go straight across from the ramp and fish right there while everybody runs like crazy. I thought, so I went out and practiced. I ran around the lake, only set the hook one time, but I found an area that I got a couple bites in, you know, felt them smack it, and I was like, all right, felt like good ones. So I'm like, that's all I had. I had two bites in an area and some pads. It's like, all right, I'm going to fish that. That's all we got. That's what we're doing. So I figured I was going to be sharing it with Rich because it's exactly where he said he's going to be. Tournament day happens. Rich takes off the other direction. I guess he was trying to give me bad information.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I start on the lake and I just fish my way down the lake. I don't skip any water.
You said you go there and while everybody runs around, you just fish
that
all
fish,
day.
I fish down the lake. I just don't skip water.
Right. I was trying to lead me astray. So anyhow, fishing with Darren, we had seven bites all day.
Yeah.
Caught six of them.
Flipping.
Flipping.
Yeah.
We're flipping the pads. That was it.
Nice.
Yeah. And we had 890. Rich had 895.
Yeah.
And that was, we took seconds.
That's good. And and I'm not saying this to rub it in at all, but a big thing that you had that Riz didn't is a torpedo.
Oh, boy.
Had Riz had a torpedo on his boat.
Oh, he wouldn't have been late.
He wouldn't have been late, right?
Nah, not even close.
All right. Shout out to torpedo. Makes a big difference.
True story.
Also want to catch up while we were fishing tournaments. Dave, I have a little note here that how's your garden progress going?
Is that what we're going to make fun of? Yeah, it's there it is.
There it goes. Dave's garden progress in all caps.
It's going great. I mean, August and September are rough times, you know. but, you know, everything looks great.
All right.
Your garden always looks amazing. Ours is like a weed fest.
Yeah, and Pete, when we're talking about Dave's garden, this is serious shit. We're not talking about this little like a shoebox or a little like a raised bed here. We're talking about world class. We're talking about Home and Garden magazine shit.
It's gorgeous.
Brian the Carpenter, punch somebody's through here. Let's look at some of these images.
Let people see.
Yeah, this is real. Awesome. This is real. Yeah. I mean, this is something to be proud of here. I know we're busting your balls all the time, Dave.
All right, so yeah, to people, we're walking through some shots here.
Look at this.
West side.
The bluebell hydrangea bloom that I have on both right and left side.
Bluebell hydrangea.
Yes.
Wow. There it goes. The bluebell. All right. Brian DeCarpenter, give us another image. Dave, walk us through this one. And it's beautiful too.
So what you see right in the front, the red. Actually, you know, a little bit. I would say the second tier of flowers would be perennial hibiscus. That specifically is the Margot maroon. And I just made that up.
All right.
I should have run going with that.
All right, we got a third image here. Dave, take us through this image. Where are we at here?
So to the right's the Yak Shack, and you just—it's just, you know, just roses and
nice
and
little area
riddles.
Though. Yeah. It's peaceful.
It is really pretty.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Mean for making fun of Dave, but his gardens are amazing.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome, and it's like Longwood Gardens right in your backyard, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, we got one more, Dave. What is this?
Yeah, I painted the house. You know, it was a wine color, and I painted it like kind of like a. I would say kind of like, I don't know, ethnic Smurf, maybe. It's like a darker blue, you know? And
sun-drenched Smurf.
But seriously, went from, like, my favorite beverage to my favorite color, so I'm down with what you did here.
It was tough. I mean, the blue's a hard color to find and, like, a hard one to settle with once you start. That was, like, the fifth or sixth shade. They were all gross. They were all Smurf, you know.
So they were the good pictures we could use. There was four good ones.
There's my hummingbird.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah. If you open that up,
I'm gonna put that through.
Everything.
This is what Dave sent me.
Yeah.
Dave's hummingbird on the message board wants to know.
Screenshot of a phone.
That's what that is.
Oh no.
Wow. Dude, so tell me about this, Dave.
Wait a minute. Is this four images in your backyard?
So what was this?
What's happening,
Dave?
Here?
Team No Fish said you're like the Martha Stewart of gardening.
Oh,
thanks for that. But right now I'm cringing. I got an infiltrate. I got deep state, obviously, in my house. All right. Oh God. So what that is, can you open up the whole picture, Brian? Because it's not showing what I'm reaching for. Oh my God, I'm gonna kill her. So I'm investigating some Sasquatch activity in the Pine Barrens.
Oh! Now it's all coming together. Now we know why you were in the Pine Barrens. Look at that.
Were you squatch hunting?
This is painful.
So we got to get Dom Barone on to talk this out with you.
No, that's Jay Kumar.
Or Kumar.
Amazing. No, Dom Barone is a squatch hunter.
Dom Barone is?
Yeah. Oh, Dom is?
Yeah, Kumar is too.
Oh, yeah, right? Kumar wrote a darn book about it.
Yeah, really? Why do I not realize that? I wasn't going to
out Kumar on it, but he and I confer notes. You know, we share notes, but
you should have seen the two of them at the classic when they met.
I know, this guy embarrassed me. You know what I mean? Like,
they were locked in.
Yeah, dude, we had a moment. But that right there, and I'm not afraid to say it, you can't go find these things. They avail themselves to you. There's no looking for them.
No, but here, this image here, Brian, is clear evidence. The other one is clear evidence. Look at that.
The horse flies are
hard. Look at here. Clear evidence look at that. Look how high that branch is broken.
Wait.
There's no other way that branch could be broken.
I need to talk about this.
Yeah, so let's do it.
Because I am so not against the belief that there's a Sasquatch or a Nessie or unicorns.
Right.
And, like, I want to believe mermaids.
Mermaid
all this
unicorns.
Stuff. Don't get me started. I want to believe in a unicorn. Right. I want them to shit rainbows. I am not kidding. But listen. I don't understand how to believe if I can't find enough evidence.
Right.
Well, look at the broken branch right there. That's clear evidence.
UFOs are legit. There is so much evidence.
Of course.
Sasquatch, there's not.
There's thousands of eyewitness accounts. But what
but all those MFers are crazy.
No,
why
not.
Can't
thousands.
You get a normal looking one?
They're all on mushrooms.
They're not. Listen to me closely. Listen to me. They just recently caught, for the first time ever, an orangutan giving birth. They never had that on film. That just happened last week in a zoo. Point is, we know things are there. You don't always catch it on film. In the 80s, everyone knew drive-by shootings were happening.
They never have an orangutan,
but there was never one
birth
on film at all. No.
So that's why Heather's cat's afraid.
Well, here's
of
my point, dude. Like, so what you saw me pointing at there, that tree at around 9 feet was twisted and bent over, and there's a series of them on that trail. That's Sandy Point Road in Wharton Forest. It's really remote. You can only get to that area on foot. It's an area I had found maybe like 3 years ago, but never brought like cameras to document it. Brought my wife to take pictures of it, and I infiltrated it and embarrassed.
Shout out to Mel.
But wait, do you have evidence? Like, do you have any footprints?
So listen,
is there fur?
No, hold on, listen. Not in Wharton Forest. And every encounter I ever had, I had it with someone. We get my mom on the phone right now. When I was 12 years old, my stepdad had 300 acres in upstate Pennsylvania. It was like 4 hours away. I only know the nearest bar was Deer Valley Inn because I always thought it was so cool. Guys were in there with, like, buck knives and, you know, like. But anyhow, we were out deer spotting at night, and my stepdad's dead. But whatever we saw, until one is captured, we have proof. We watched a walking bear go across the road, dirt road, from right to left, right in front of us. But it was rectangular. It wasn't 9 feet tall like everyone says. It looked like an ordinary thing. that was super square, rectangular, and slightly bent over, and it like glided across right into the corn. We couldn't see it.
Whoa.
Dave, you might have another another believer that's inside of our organization now.
Uh-oh.
A Mr. Luke Foley from Tin Cup.
Oh!
Says he believes you, Dave.
There you go.
On this phone right here, wherever my phone is.
I don't
is.
Know if the whiskey has anything to do with it.
No, hold on.
Not.
So that was my first
but
encounter.
But I'm not saying I'm not a believer. No, I just haven't... Like, I need evidence.
So she needs my wife. Listen, that was with my mom. We could get my mom on the phone right now, and after she insults
Becky
me.
You wants a fur coat.
No, like,
Squatch fur
yeah,
coat.
Yeah, you're right, dude.
A Gucci. She wants a Gucci
she
Squatch purse.
She wants a pelt from a juvenile Squatch.
And then she'll believe.
To wrap it around
wait,
her neck.
Why do I have to be the bad guy now? Just because I'm asking for evidence.
Hold on, man. You guys, if you're going to, let me explain. So, that was with my mom. My mom. We'll say we watched a bear walk across the road, which we did, but bears don't walk. We ever watch a bear walk? They're goofy. This was a road. This was a road and a thing, whatever. Second thing happened with my wife. We were in Everglades, deep in the swamp in a national park, and she found, we took a picture of it. It's all on my older phones, but I have it. A track where regular civilian tracks are over top of it, but it's clearly a bizarre-looking, gigantic foot. And it wasn't like what like our foot. It was more like it was more like wider, like a frog, like a frog.
Let me
like
ask you this though.
Foot.
I'm following this.
Maybe it was
J.T.
Kenny's.
And I do. I could have been. I can believe this. I can see the possibility of something like this happening. But so what you're saying is that there's more than one, right? Because you're saying Pennsylvania, Everglades, Pine Barrens. So you're saying
there has to be.
There are. It's a species out there.
I have more.
You have more.
I have more stories.
Wow.
I had four different encounters, dude.
Because in different places.
But I immerse myself in the forest, and I do it a lot.
Like, right.
You guys don't know. I mean, I do it by myself. I don't. But I've never had an encounter by myself.
It's like a secret society.
No, so the third encounter, the footprint, that whatever. I have the picture of it, you know. It's bizarre. You can look at it. I don't know. But my wife and I were sneaking on the private property way up in the Adirondacks.
Right on. I want that.
To get our kayaks on, but we walked the road in before we drug the kayaks in.
Yeah.
It's a water treatment plant about 30 miles west of Glen Falls.
Okay.
Nothing around. Sparse houses once in a while. It's foggy. I got this on my phone, and I wasn't going to out Jay Kumar, but I sent it to him. Like we're standing there, and the loons are going back and forth. And loons are unique. Everyone knows what a loon sounds like.
Yeah.
And there's something... fucking with the loons, making a sound that both of us looked at each other. Then all of a sudden your DNA gets activated. You got goosebumps. You're breathing heavy. And I started recording. And it's something with lips fucking around with the loons, howling.
You're kidding me.
Her and I have never had the urge to go back there again, dude. Like, it's we weren't terrified, but it was like, my God, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it was
a scene from Deliverance.
No. Yeah. It was, I don't know, but we've never, we won't, I have no desire to go back there again.
Right.
You know, and I have two 60-second clips of it.
Oh, I want
to
hear that.
But, Dave, if you're trying to, like, if you're a Squatch hunter, right?
We were trying to go fish frog.
Right, but you now, you're actively, like, looking for Squatches. You're doing all this tracking, and you think you saw one up
good
there. Why wouldn't you go back?
That's a good question. Get Melanie on the phone. I don't know, because it was so close there.
Yeah,
when I go into the woods, I'm not looking.
People see Squatch? Like, there's something obviously about
them. There are thousands
of
people that see them. There are thousands of accounts, and they're not all crazy.
This is such shit.
You know? No, but hold on.
I like this. I believe in spirits and ghosts, so I'm open.
But they're
Charles
all
Dougherty said it was Brian's ghost in the woods.
I came across Brian's ghost in the
Our last encounter, we were hiking with the kids in the Adirondacks, Bear Mountain. It's on the eastern side of Lake George, and it's maybe 1800 elevation, and it's just, you know, you do a Z up it. You're not walking straight up.
Yeah.
About maybe three Z's away from us, you can see a big ass tree being shook, and that some bitch crashed over, dude. We turned around with the kids and we were going like it. I'm telling you, you can't like I don't. When I go out, I'm not looking for them. I don't expect to see one.
Hold on
every
a second.
Time,
wait, what?
What, Brian? Are you reading something or are you talking to me?
No, I'm not looking for them. What the hell's in your hands?
I was documenting the trees that we got over, and that was old. That was
look
old
at
break.
You. You got them. You
is
got,
that the machinery from Ghostbusters? What is that?
Beep, 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 beep.
Listen.
I'm not looking for you. You got them binoculars
no,
in here.
All I was doing there, that was a camera. That was a camera. That was a Canon. All I was doing there was taking pictures of the old wood. I've never purposefully went out thinking I was going to see one. Anytime we ever had anything weird, I was doing something other than that.
Yeah. Right.
So like, Mike and I.
It's like they know you're looking for them.
Yeah. We might have mentioned this on the show before.
Yeah, we had experience.
Yeah, it wasn't a Squatch, but it was me, Mike, and Tom all went to Alaska, say, 15 years ago.
That sounds
12,
about right.
15 years ago. When me and Mike went there, our buddy Tom was stationed in the Coast Guard in Homer. So we went up and stayed with him for a week. And we went and hiked up into the mountains and camped for 3 days. And the one night we all saw something, right? We all saw it. So we're there. We're under the lunar light. The moon did come up. Yeah, that's right. So it was the sky was clear.
Yeah,
the moon
it was a bright
up.
Night.
That was the bright night.
Yeah.
And we're standing here on this kind of cliff, this edge, outlooking this lake, and it was mind blowing how amazing the visuals were. Standing there, I hear Tom like start either you or Tom saw it first.
Yeah.
And I don't know because I ignored it the first couple times. I was just into what I was looking at, you know, the moon reflecting off the lake and the mountains and everything just kind of it was amazing. But when I finally look over, I see it on the side of the mountain. There was a light and the light went and disappeared. And I'm like, holy shit, I saw it too. I saw it like three times. You guys might have saw it like five times or something like that.
Yeah. Wait, no, Sasquatch has a light?
No, they're
a lantern.
Those lights are linked with Squatch sightings, but go ahead. They're called orbs, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, we saw it. And the distance might have been a mile, might have been a half mile, might have been 2 miles. It's hard to judge, not being from the big country like that, how far that distance was away. But in the side of the mountain, you know, the tree line was getting sparse. We were up there a bit, you know. We're fairly... It happened.
Yep.
We saw it.
Weird experience.
Orb
some kind of light.
With Sasquatch. Yeah.
They absolutely are linked. If you follow the phenomenon, they're linked, and I don't know why. Yeah. And I don't know.
No one knows why.
I don't know. Like, you know, we can shock a lake and see what comes up. If we shocked the planet and there was none of them, I'd be okay with having watched a bear walk across the road. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. If the aliens come down when disclosure happens and they're here and they're like, look, Dave, you didn't see a Squatch. You didn't hear one. We don't know what shook the tree. But, you know, like the other things that I'd be fine with it. Like, they don't have to exist, but I experience these things. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Yeah, this is actual footage?
No, this is the audio.
Oh.
Hang on.
Oh, cool. We'll be able to hear this.
I'm going
to
hold
on.
Let's see if we can hear this.
You'll hear the loon. You don't hear it? I mean, I don't know how well it shows.
I was waiting for it.
I'm trying to put a phone. I don't know if you can hear it.
I was waiting
for
something.
Dave, you can send me the video. Maybe we can pull it up.
Well, that's what I've been dealing with my whole life.
I feel like we just
proof of that Bible right there.
I believe. Pete, you believe. Pete, you are probably the most intelligent, rational.
Oh, hell no.
No, listen. Pete, you analyze.
Driving with a damn mask by himself in the truck.
No, I know. But listen.
Yeah,
that ain't rational.
You analyze, you overanalyze to extreme with things. Pete, give us your take on all this.
I get scared, so I don't try not to think about it. No, I mean, it honestly is giving me goosebumps. I was up in Michigan just recently, and I come out of the rental house, and it's like pitch black, and the bushes go crazy, and I mean, I was just terror. You know,
but I was
thinking bear. Now I'd be thinking Sasquatch, you know,
right.
but it wasn't, you know, it was deer, right? I heard the hooves hit the street and I actually breathed for like the first time in like 60 seconds. You know, I was just stone frozen. But,
yeah. There's another guy.
But I don't know. There's
in this industry.
I got to pull the plug on
there's so many hunters. Well, there's so many people that spend their lives in the woods. There's so many people that just live there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, this would be revealed by now. Somebody would have tagged it by now.
There's another guy who's huge in the industry, Mike, and I'll tell you when we're off the air because I'm not going to out him.
Okay. Come on, out him.
Another believer?
I'm not going to say who it is. I'll tell you guys off the air.
What are you afraid of?
He's big. He's almost as big as you.
All right. Now, before we get into the next topic, I do have to admit this. I never admit it to Becky. I never admit it to any of you guys. It's always embarrassed. I'm telling you, I had an experience where, and again, I can't explain it. I don't know exactly what it was. It might have been a Sasquatch. It might have been Bigfoot. I don't know. But it happened at Pete's favorite Wawa about 5 a.m. in the morning. I was headed to a tournament up at Manasquan. I swear it could have been Sasquatch walking in that Wawa. I'm not sure.
It's all right. Chris Alfonso.
Let's
was
keep
that
going.
Was that the Lawnside Route 30 Wawa? Because there's several Sasquatches over there.
What it do we was. Need to do here, Brian?
I mean, I feel like we you know, it's 8 o'clock. Randy's been sitting, waiting, watching.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to roll.
Let's take a break.
We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break before we get to Randy. Before we do that, too, I do have one other note real quick. Yep, I have one other note. Dave, go ahead. I'm going to have one other note real quick. It says, Becky, we want an update on your electric fence to keep my friends away. How's your electric fence doing?
Clearly, I'm not doing well because they're all in this building.
Okay. Dave?
Hold on, Dave.
You got me. That's what all the Ike Foundation keychains are. They're shockers, I found out, dude.
It does double duty.
And when I get close to the office, I all of a sudden get shocked.
That's right.
Not nice.
I wish everyone, but they're all still here.
Yeah, they are still here.
We're still here.
All right.
I think our viewers all left, but we're still here.
They might have. All right.
Sasquatch conversations. Yeah. Throwing them away.
Real quick, we're going to take a break. Before we take the break, though, and we're going to get, again, if you're watching right now, cannot wait for this next guest. We've got Randy Blockett join us here in just a minute or two. Becky, we just spoke of the Ike Foundation. Give us an update. There's a few weeks left to sign up for the Ike Foundation kayak event up on Lake Patcon. This is going to be good.
This is super exciting. So, as everyone knows, back in the day, we used to combine the Pro-Am boat tournament with the kayak tournament, both on the Delaware River. We kind of changed everything this year. So, of course, the Pro-Am ended up down on the Upper Bay, which was a huge, huge success. And then we moved the kayak tournament to September, Lake Patcon. There's only a few spots left. Please go to the IkeFoundation.org, sign up. All the information is there, or our Facebook page, Instagram page. You can find the information there. There's only a few spots left. It's amazing. It's an awesome tournament. All the proceeds go to the Ike Foundation, but we've got awesome prizes, probably even better prizes than we had in the past because we were able to split up these events.
Yeah.
We're still able to do it with social distancing and the virtual captain's meeting, and everything's going to run amazing.
Right.
But you get to fish against Mike.
Right. Now, this is a big one. This is a big one. I'm going to be competing.
Yep.
I'm not going soft on him, Pete. I'm out here to draw blood, just like at the Potomac. I'm going to try hard, try to win. Hapakong, let you know, I had the record there back in the 90s, 1978, Pete, largest five fish limit at the time on Lake Hapakong. I think it's since been broken, but I know the lake. I feel confident. I'm going to try to win. So I invite you to come up and try to beat me if you can. Also, I want to stress this. You do not have to have a Hobie kayak.
No.
It's a vicious thing. You have any kayak, right? Any brand, a Dick's Sporting Goods Pelican kayak, anything, right?
Whatever kayak. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Can it be homemade? Life raft style.
No, I mean, it has to be a legitimate kayak.
Okay.
Canoe?
Because I got a couple people that might.
It can't be a piece of wood that you want to climb on. Like, it's got to be a legitimate kayak.
Got it.
And where can there's spots still left. Where can they go to get information on how to join?
If you go to the IkeFoundation.org, we've got all the information there for you to be able to sign up and get yourself all set up to fish. Again, I would hurry because there's only a few spots left. When I talked to the ladies the other day, I think there was less than 10 spots. So that was a few days ago. So hurry up, sign up, join us. It's going to be a ton of fun. Again, the proceeds go to the IkeFoundation.org. Just a reminder that we have not been able to host many of our fundraising events.
Yeah.
So your support is greatly appreciated.
Critical.
Any donations are greatly appreciated because we are still sending product across the country, rods, reels. We're still supporting kids. We're still getting kids out fishing.
Yep.
But we don't have the events to fundraise.
Right.
So your support is really, really, really appreciated at this yep. time.
Need your support. Head on over to IkeFoundation.org and get information on it. Yeah, what do you got, Pete?
I was just going to say, if people wanted to donate, they can't be there. How can they do that?
We can take donations on the website. There's on the Ike Foundation website, you can also just make donations, which are appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to support kids fishing, please head over to IkeFoundation.org. And there's a lot of ways that you could help. We're going to take a break. Brian Carpenter, Rizzo, we're going to take a little break. Listen, hang in there, because when we come back, I can't wait. Can't wait to get the guy on the phone here. Randy Blockett's going to be joining us, tour veteran, in just a couple minutes. Hang in there with us. When we come back, more Ike Live.
Hi. Today we're going chest to chest in the Dr. Squatch lather test. On that half of Mike's impressive chest, we're rubbing him down with three name brand bars. The result? A sad, milky film of disappointment. How's that feel, Mike? You see, Big Soap cuts corners and strips out all the sudsy goodness in order to make production cheaper. But not Dr. Squatch. Don't worry, Mike. Dr. Squatch soap retains all the natural ingredients, which creates a rich, foamy lather, leaving your skin healthy, soft, and clean. Ooh, looks like Squatch is taking over this peck party. How do you feel now, Mike? Dr. Squatch Natural Soap. When we say it lathers, it f***ing lathers. You deserve glorious lather. Take the lather challenge for yourself today.
4.5-inch drop shot worm. Bama bug. Finesse jig, PB&J. Give me something hard.
Hey, KVD here. Now, I didn't always know this much about fishing.
4-0 EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras like free fishing magazines. October 2016. Featured article, 4 Places to Throw a Frog. Exclusive decals. Zombie bass. And how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy.
Is he in my pocket?
This time of year, I definitely recommend putting a little bit of this on your soft plastics, too. There he is. Another one. Next cast. And that would be number 6. I'm addicted. I'll admit it. I'm straight addicted.
This might be bigger.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's such a healthy fish. Look at this guy. Put a little liquid mayhem on your crappy jig and look where the stripers get it.
You can't even see it, man.
That might be a keeper.